listening to the Maggie Dawn Show, and I know you're smart, so you figured out already that I'm not Maggie Dawn. I'm Matt Rothschild, and I'm subbing for Maggie Dawn today. I'm the former executive director at the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign and former editor and publisher at the Progressive Magazine. Maggie's been kind enough to let me come in from the bullpen a couple times before, and I'm delighted to do so again this afternoon. I want you to join me in conversation on the big topics of the day. The first one, of course, the RNC. And the second one, also very obvious, this question as to whether Joe Biden should go or should stay. I guess the corollary question is, if he's going, when should he go? And the next question following that is, who's to replace him? I've been of the opinion since that fatal debate performance that he should get out of the race as soon as possible. I did waver a little bit when it looked like at the beginning of this week that maybe the cries for him to get out of the race had calmed down after the assassination attempt on Trump and Bernie Sanders coming out in the New York Times saying, I'm with Biden, we should all stay with Biden. But there's been this steady drumbeat here, which is not going to go away and is only crescendoing. In fact, the first Wisconsin Democratic elected official just today, Mark Pocan, came out for Biden to get out of the race. This is what Mark Pocan said. He said it's time for Joe Biden to pass the torch to a new generation of Democratic leaders. In a letter with two other elected Democrats, one from California and one from Texas, Mark Pocan praised Biden's decades of public service and patriotic leadership, but then added, at this point, however, we must face the reality that widespread public concerns about your age and fitness are jeopardizing what should be a winning campaign. These perceptions, Pocan and the two other legislators went on, may not be fair, but they've hardened in the aftermath of last month's debate and are now unlikely to change. They added there is a deep and talented bench of young leaders led by Vice President Kamala Harris, who you've lifted up, empowered, and prepared for the moment. So that's Mark Pocan saying that he believes that it's time for Joe to go, and the way I read it, time for Kamala Harris to take over. So let me know what you think about that at 855-752-4822. The other subject I wanted to talk about is this convention that we all just endured, and it's a lot of time that we'll never get back, especially that interminable speech from former President Trump last night, which that's Jess in the booth. I mean, it was like, I thought he was like Fidel Castro, who's going to go for 3 hours.
Felt like it.
Yeah, it just was interminable and rambling. And the first part was about his surviving the assassination attempt. I give him some allowance for that. But then it just turned into his stump speech with crazy references to Hannibal Lecter. And the demonization, this is one of the themes of the convention that bothered me the most, Jess, was the demonization of undocumented workers, undocumented people coming into the United States. He used the term invasion 13 times in reference to undocumented people in this country. He said that Latin American leaders were emptying their jails and their insane asylums, and it was just outrageous what he did. And then, you know, one of the most outrageous things he said was that, you know, he is the one who's trying to save our democracy.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, this guy who tried to overthrow our democracy in at the last presidential election, and who should be in jail for doing that.
And who has said openly that he plans to be a dictator on day one.
Dictator on day one. He calls the people who've been convicted for their role in this coup attempt as heroes and political prisoners and says he's going to pardon them. I guess that's going to be on day one or day two. So it was a crazy display, and I certainly didn't buy what seemed to me a three-night, four-night episode of Extreme Makeover I mean, this idea that Donald Trump is going to change his spots is ridiculous. They tried to make him out to be, oddly, the most sensitive man in America.
He couldn't get through his whole speech with that. He got through, what, 5 minutes of we need to come together, we need to be unified, I'll be the president of the whole country. And then it disappeared immediately.
Yeah. The whole thing was a charade. Maybe a well-produced charade if you wanted to give them technical points, but an outrageous charade if you looked at what people were saying. You know, there was Laura Trump talking about what a terrific grandfather he was and what a supportive father-in-law he was. And then you had Sarah Huckabee Sanders and Kellyanne Conway talking like he was Alan Alda, some hypersensitive feminist man practically. And, you know, this was another theme that bugged me. Don Jr., Eric, J.D. Vance, all talking about how selfless he is by running for president. That he could just, you know, be a billionaire and enjoy his life on the golf course and at Mar-a-Lago. But he didn't want to do that because he loves America too much. I think he loves staying out of jail too much. But they fed us that line about how he's so selfless and loves America so much.
Is that why he spent the most days golfing? Of any president?
Well, funny you bring that up, Jess, because there was Governor Burgum of North Dakota saying not only that President Trump cares deeply about every American and President Trump cares deeply about you, but also, right to your point, that he was the hardest working president in American history. Yeah.
Okay. That's
what I mean when I say they really put the bull in hyperbole in this convention here. And it was kind of amazing to behold just how much chutzpah they had in putting this on. So if you're listening in your kitchen or in your office or in your car and you're not driving, give us a call at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. Let us know what you think, either about the convention that just passed or about Biden. Should he go? If he should go, who should replace him? Those are the two big issues of the day. I also wanted to talk a little bit, Jess, about other things that disturb me. There's the demonization of immigrants with send them back, send them the chance of send them back. And those prefab posters that read mass deportation now. And the plank in the Republican platform that calls for the biggest mass deportation in U.S. history, which Trump discussed also in his speech last night, that the demonization of transgender folks, which our own Ron Johnson started off on Monday night talking about, and the hideous Marjorie Taylor Greene talked about also right out of the gate. And then the repeated claims that God intervened to save Trump's life, which is hard for me to swallow as an atheist Jew, I must confess.
Well, it's remarkable that God decided to descend to save Trump, but not the rally attendee?
Yeah, and they made a lot of hay on him, too. But, you know, you had speaker after speaker talking about divine intervention. Tucker Carlson said it. Marco Rubio said it. Franklin Graham said it. Trump himself said it. They had turned Pfizer Forum into a revival tent for the last four nights. And for those of us who don't believe that either in God or that God intervenes in this kind of a direct way, it wasn't a welcoming tent for sure. And then there was J.D. Vance. J.D. Vance got some praise from some of the MSNBC or I guess I was watching CNN panelists that I thought was unworthy because I found his speech to be immature, his delivery immature, certainly, you know, he kept getting distracted by the crowd and talking about what a great crowd it was and started to chant USA, USA with them in a kind of awkward way and clapped in an awkward way. But I also thought it was inappropriate when he was making, bragging about Ohio State's football versus Michigan's. That seemed really immature and inappropriate. And he followed that up by saying, when the folks from Michigan were complaining about his Ohio State football comment, he said, okay, calm down. We've had enough political violence lately. That was tone deaf, too soon, way too soon, coming just a couple days after the assassination attempt on Trump. And then in the same vein, I thought it was inappropriate when he laughed about all the loaded guns his grandma had. You know, this after another episode of terrible gun violence in America. And then noteworthy also things he didn't say. He didn't talk about abortion, even though he's on record as opposing abortion, even in cases of rape or incest, and wants a national abortion ban. He didn't mention, check this out, Jess, he didn't mention Kyle Rittenhouse. But this is what he said about Kyle Rittenhouse after Kyle Rittenhouse's shootings. We want to promote the types of virtues that exist in Kyle Rittenhouse.
That's sickening.
Basic manly virtues, he said.
Oh, those are our basic manly virtues,
basic
are they?
Manly virtues, carrying a high-powered rifle down the middle of the street and pointed at people and then shooting.
I suppose we have very different qualifications for what constitutes as that, don't we?
Yeah, basic manly virtues. He didn't mention what he's on record as saying is that battered women should stay in their relationships and their marriages, too. So, you know, who is this guy, J.D. Vance? We don't know. America doesn't know these stances that he's taken. And we don't have a full picture of him, but the picture that I've been getting of him is a really ugly picture. So I want to hear what you have to say. Call 855-752-4842. We have Matt from Milwaukee on the line. Matt, are you there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead. We got 1 minute. Let me know what you think, and we can pick you up after. But shoot right now.
I'm more upset right now with Democrats not rallying behind Biden and asking him to step down. It's just, I'm so mad.
Well, Matt, we'll pick that up after the break here. I've got strong opinions on that as well. I think Biden isn't our best candidate. I've thought that for a long time. And after that debate, which was just shocking and appalling, I think there is no question that he needs to get out. And we'll pick that up. Thanks for the call, Matt, from Milwaukee. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show. I'm Matt Rothschild, pitch hitting here. Keep on running, cause the winner don't quit on themselves. Hey, Matt Rothschild here, subbing in for Maggie Dawn on The Maggie Dawn Show all across the Civic Media Radio Network. Thanks for tuning in. I want to hear from you about what you think Biden should do here, or what you think about the convention that just passed here in Milwaukee. Phone number to call, 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. Love to hear from you. My view is Biden's toast. I don't think he can survive politically this weekend. There is not only a drip, but a hose full of water coming out right now, a fire hose of water. Mark Pocan being the latest Democrat, the first elected Democrat in Wisconsin, to call for Biden to drop out. You know, right after the debate that Biden totally blew, I posted on Facebook that he must go. And I was surprised by the blowback I was getting from mainstream Democrats here in Wisconsin on my friends list. That they said, this is a betrayal of Joe Biden. Stick by Joe Biden. We got to rally around Joe Biden. Even this morning, one of my good friends, who's actual physical good friend in real life, not just a Facebook friend, posted that he's still riding with Biden. And while I respect him in that view, I just have thought for the longest time, even way before the debate, that Biden wasn't going to win this election. I know people poo-poo polls, but when there are 300 polls over a course of a year and a half that consistently show Joe Biden trailing, I mean, at some point, you've got to wonder, I think these polls are true. You know, it's like having 300 doctors taking your temperature with a thermometer. Are you going to disregard the thermometer readings 300 times? So I thought that was irrational. You know, I believe polls are an accurate snapshot at the time. Yes, your fever could go down. The temperature reading on the thermometer could change. But at the moment, you know, you're running a high fever, and Biden is in real trouble. And so Mark Pocan is an interesting expression right now. He's got the safe seat here in his Dane County district, heavily Democratic. He wins by 70% of the vote all the time, as Joe Biden said when he was standing next to him there in Madison for their very raucous rally when Biden was trying to rescue his campaign. But losing Mark Pocan, I think, is a blow to Biden, just like losing Jamie Raskin was a blow to Biden. I like Jamie Raskin's analogy about the pitcher who's pitched, you know, his 110 or 115 pitches and his arm is sore. And my analogy is Ernie Banks, one of my favorite members of the Chicago Cubs, who batted 193 in his last year. And Biden's batting about 193 now. Ernie Banks' career average, 274. We've got a couple callers. We've got Joe from Madison. I always like listening to Joe. Joe, what's on your mind?
Yeah, I wanted to just delve into a detail here that I think is a revelatory one for those who are wondering about the difference in working under Democratic or Republican administrations. And that is a detail that is described in that 900-page document, the Project 2025. And obviously, we could spend hours and hours and hours on that. But one of the ones that just fascinates me is the efforts, because I think it's so approachable for so many people, is the efforts that are going on currently to under Project 2025 to dismantle the organization called National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. Okay, NOAA. We've all heard of that. What does that mean? Well, that's the people that gather information about weather and hurricanes and coastal conditions and what's happening in terms of our fisheries and that sort of thing. But one of the biggest things they do is the National Weather Service. And under the Project 2025, the efforts are underway to take our weather forecasting, the satellites, 122 weather stations around the country that give us weather forecasts for, on average, you pay in taxes $4 a year. Every American pays $4 a year to get weather wherever you are. You can be in the Bering Sea in Alaska. You can be off of Hawaii. You can be on a Georgia peanut plantation. It doesn't matter where you are. You can dial in, and through the National Weather Service for $4 a year, you can understand, are there tornadoes coming my way? Is that flooding going to, you know, can I drive through that highway? Is the flooding too high? That sort of thing. They want to privatize it.
Thanks, Joe, for that call. It's always great hearing your thoughtful comments. And one of the reasons they want to get rid of this or hogtie this organization, this office in the executive branch, is because it also deals with climate change. And Project 2025 calls climate change, or those who are talking about climate change, as being members of the climate change alarm industry. And they want to get rid of the Office of Domestic Climate Policy. They say the Department of Energy's Office of Clean Energy Demonstrations has got to go too. This is what we're going to get with Trump. You know, an end to trying to do anything about climate change, just denialism about climate change. So thanks for bringing up that really important point, Joe. We've got another caller, Jack from Racine, who I'd like to hear from. Jack, are you on the line?
I'm on the line. Thank you. I'd like to share my opinion about your topic about Joe Biden. And maybe a little more blowback on it.
But, sure.
But maybe reason blowback here. You know, I saw Joe Biden's campaign manager on TV this morning. I'm Maury Joe. And her thoughts reflect what I see as I talked extensively with Democrats in my area, and that is that at least 70% of the people I talked to, she used the same figure actually, and that was in my head, are support Joe Biden. They would like to vote for Joe Biden, and they want him to be the candidate. There's a very small number of people who talk about age. Most of them say, you know, they are, and the thing that binds up all together is that they want to beat Trump, and they think. And most of them think Joe Biden can do that, and his age doesn't bother him. They know he was old when they voted for him last time. So,
Jack, thanks for that call. It was Jack from Racine. And, you know, Jack, I was watching Morning Joe this morning and saw the campaign manager, Jen O'Malley-Dillon, who I thought did a brave job in defending Joe Biden and talking about how we can go forward. And you know, you're sensing at the grassroots, what I've also sensed at the grassroots, that there's actually a lot of love for Joe Biden, especially among Democratic Party activists. And they had wished that people would have circled the wagons around Joe and supported Joe Biden after he stepped on his toes there in the debate. And instead, you know, he was getting all this incoming friendly fire. And I understand that reaction. I actually sympathize with that reaction. But I think at the end of the day, you got to look at who's got the best chance of beating Donald Trump and saving our democracy. And unfortunately, I've thought for a long time that Joe Biden just simply was not that candidate. And he showed us in that debate with that appalling performance that he can't do it. He can't bring us over the finish line. So when you recognize that and you read the polls and you look at the map that is getting increasingly more difficult for Democrats to win, you've got to come to the conclusion that we can do better than Joe Biden at the top of the ticket. And someone like Kamala Harris can certainly do a better job of debating Donald Trump and making the case for not letting Donald Trump anywhere near the Oval Office again. So that's where I come out on it. But I appreciate your input too, Jack. And I hope you'll stay tuned. All of you, you're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show. I've got a great guest coming on, Pastor Walter Jack Lanier, here in Milwaukee, one of the leaders in the African-American community here. And we'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
Well, everybody's heard about the bird. Bird. The bird's a winner. Well, the bird. Bird is a winner. Well, the bird. Well, the bird is a winner. Well, the bird. The bird's a winner. Well, the bird. Well, the bird is a winner.
Hey, Matt Rothschild here, subbing in for Maggie Dawn on the Maggie Dawn Show all across the Civic Media Radio Network. That was Jess's music choice because I'm a bird watcher. That's the inside joke on that one. We were just talking before the break about Biden, whether he should go or whether he should stay, whether Democrats should rally around him or find someone better. We've got Dick from Madison who wants to weigh in on this weighty question. Dick, where are you on this? You with us, Dick? Yeah. Are you there, Dick? Otherwise, we're going to let you go. Don't know where Dick is, but we're going to let him go. Maybe he'll call back later. We'll get his view on it. I've already expressed my view, and that is simply that Joe Biden is not up to the task of beating Donald Trump, and that is the crucial task before us. And it's time for President Biden to gracefully bow out and to let someone else carry the torch. Basically, he's carried the ball as far as he could carry the ball. And I do feel bad for him. My wife and I have been talking about this for weeks now, and I feel bad for the guy. He's done a great job as president, much better than I thought he'd be, actually, much more progressive than I thought he'd be. And yet, you know, you get tired. It's a tough job. It's one of the hardest jobs in the world. I mean, it made Barack Obama's hair turn gray, and Barack Obama was 30 years younger. It's just a tough job, and he could go out now gracefully. It's too bad that he didn't go out, in my opinion, right after the midterm elections when he could have gone out totally on top. And so I hope he does what's right for the Democratic Party and what's right for the country. But right now I want to turn to my guest in studio, who is a Facebook friend of mine and an actual friend of mine. We saw each other at a press conference about Wisconsin democracy issues, must have been 3 years ago.
Yep.
In Madison, you spoke really well. I'm speaking to Pastor Walter Jack Lanier. Until recently, the president of the African American Leadership Alliance of Milwaukee, senior pastor at the Progressive Baptist Church in Milwaukee, and involved in many other civic organizations here in the Milwaukee area. Pastor Lanier, it's nice to see you again.
It is great to be here, and I appreciate the opportunity to be on the radio with you.
Well, I've been looking forward to it all week. So, as I mentioned, we're Facebook friends, and I saw your post the other day which said the GOP convention kicks off in a Milwaukee where Republicans don't want people to vote. Why'd you say that?
for clarity purposes, the Republicans are here, or were here. They've left the RNC, and we know before Trump got here, he talked about Milwaukee as a horrible city. And so I think we heard the honest expression of what he really thinks about Milwaukee. And I think we may even see that play itself out in the economic impact that we hope to get. That doesn't look like we're going to get here because there's not real love for Milwaukee. And people who have been here for a little while, or certainly for a long while, know that the Republican legislature has no love for Milwaukee. For years and even decades has decimated Milwaukee by failing to provide shared revenue, and often being just very anti-Milwaukee. In the most extreme way is, of course, with all of the voter suppression work that it's engaged in over the years. Wisconsin and Milwaukee, Wisconsin has a reputation as having some of the most strict voter suppression laws and actions here in the nation.
And of course, that started with the voter ID bill that Scott Walker pushed through in the Republican legislature shortly after becoming governor here. In Wisconsin, it was disgusting to watch Walker's insipid grin on the screen during the Republican National Convention over the last couple of days. And then getting rid of ballot boxes. Fortunately, we now have a different Wisconsin Supreme Court that's allowing ballot boxes. I know Milwaukee, you know, had in the last presidential race something like 16 to 18 ballot boxes all across the city where people could vote. And then the conservative Wisconsin Supreme Court said that's no go and disallowed it for 2022, which was outrageous. On top of that, you had Bob Spindell, who's right on the Wisconsin Elections Commission and one of the false electors, and who happened to be an alternate this time to the RNC,
right,
who said after the 2022 election, he was bragging to his Republican constituents about suppressing Black and Latino votes in Milwaukee.
Right. And not alone. And then also this guy, Andrew Iverson, executive director, similarly talking about what I understood to be called Operation. Are you familiar with this? RAT?
I can't say it on radio, though.
You can spell it, though. We can spell it for our literate audience, F-U-C-K. And so, and we laugh, but the intensity of that language around voter suppression, you asked my thoughts about voter suppression. Voter suppression is, as I said, it's as American as apple pie. Especially for African Americans, for Black Americans, our vote has been suppressed, and that's been kind since the founding of the nation. If you think, and so there are three things I wanted to lift up. One is the cunning nature of voter suppression, the violence connected to voter suppression. It's always been violence,
including lynchings,
and that it's all about power. And so if you think about just from the very beginning of our time here, first off, if you talk about the Declaration of Independence, and I want to be a little nerdy for about 5 minutes.
Go ahead.
And the Constitution. So those are documents where the language is strong about liberty and justice and all those things. But both of those documents were created and drafted and adopted when we had slavery in the country. And the cunning nature of voting at that point in time, we know that the Constitution had this 3/5 clause that allowed the South to maintain power because they had 3/5 of all slaves at that point in time were counted for purposes of representation. So that's cunning. That's crafty thinking. That's an understanding about power, that you're crafting legislation to get power to yourself. And that's always been the case. And then if you come for, so we had voter suppression, if you will, because nobody Black was voting then. And we come forward a whole 100 years until you get to the Civil War and the Emancipation Proclamation. I call that violence. Why? Because the Civil War, you know, we lost hundreds of thousands of Americans. And by the time you get to the Civil War, you've got 4 million slaves. So still political violence. And of course, it took that violence to get anything that even looked like voting rights. So you get the 15th Amendment, you get voting rights for just a little bit of time. And as soon as those voting rights are put in place in 1868-ish, violence ensues, dramatic and violence, significant violence against Blacks and whites in the South, because that's how important that vote is. That's that cunning and that violence and that power. And then not a little bit later, when you have the Hayes-Tilden Compromise, I'm almost done nerding out. The Northern troops are removed from the South.
This was the end of Reconstruction.
At the end of Reconstruction, and then you get more violence. And for the brief moment in time when we had voting rights, still everything is being done both with cunning and violence to stop black people from voting, to stop the power of the vote. Then you go from the end of Reconstruction, really 100 years, right? You got the black codes. You got the nadir is what the folks in Africology would call it, that season of heavy lynching. And then you've got Jim Crow. So all of that cunning, crafty ways, literacy taxes, literacy tests, poll taxes, all of these things to stop the black vote. And then when do we finally get some snippet of voting rights? Is Civil Rights Act 1964, Voting Rights Act 1965. But what does it take to get there? Violence. Bloody Sunday, the killing of Cheney, Schwerner, Goodman. So it's on the heels of absolute violence and blood that we get a snippet of rights, not even full rights. So the whole time, almost done, this whole time along the journey, there's violence and cunning and craftiness. And that's why it's so important to constantly look at voter suppression. It's not by accident. It's not neutral. It's not we didn't realize it was going to have the impact. It's a strategy, and it's been a strategy the whole time the nation has been around. It's a fundamental strategy.
I'm speaking with Pastor Walter Jack Lanier of the Progressive Baptist Church in Milwaukee. And that's why, these efforts in Wisconsin, these insidious efforts by Scott Walker and the Republicans to curb voting rights raises such a bad echo.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people in the African-American community understand what's been happening since the founding of this country, through the Civil War, through Jim Crow. And then to have it happen, and then to have Bob Spindell bragging about taking voting rights away from African Americans and Latinos. It's so blatant. It's so disgusting. And it's so haunting, too.
And it's violent. When you talk about January 6th, I call those the worst Americans. They're the worst Americans by far. They don't know how to lose. They're the worst losers ever. When they lose, there's violence. They don't honor the Constitution. They don't honor democracy. They don't honor the vote to write. Black people have been losing under this system on a fairly regular basis. And we are always told, trust the system, trust the process, trust democracy. And we do, in spite of. And then these guys take one L and lose their minds and go with violence to try to overtake the Capitol.
The biggest spoiled sports in the history of politics.
Ever. The ultimate snowflakes of snowflakes. I was so irritated when people were effectively able to use that tool. Those are the snowflakes they couldn't take losing. They don't honor the America. They don't honor democracy. They do not honor the right to vote. And they're very crafty and cunning in how they articulate it. They make it look neutral.
Well, and then there's Trump prior to January 6th talking about Charlottesville. Talking about their very fine people on both sides. And this was Charlottesville, filled with racists carrying Confederate flags, filled with anti-Semites and anti-Semitic cheers. And Trump has the gall to say they're very fine people. I mean, it's such a slap in the face for anyone who believes in equal rights and civil rights and justice and an end of bigotry against African Americans and Jews as a Jewish American.
Mm-hmm.
I was just appalled at those chants and seeing the Confederate flag. And then, of course, on January 6th, we saw the Confederate flag in the middle of the Capitol.
Right. Yeah. Human rights, all of those things. So the Confederate flag, there's almost nothing that's more anti-American. I don't care what anybody says. You lost. You decided to leave the nation, starting with South Carolina, and you lost and were allowed to stay. It's a loser's flag. It's an anti-American flag. And so people let that fly. You can tell me all day about, what is it they say? Southern
heritage.
Southern heritage. Yeah, the heritage is you tried to leave and you lost, and it was violent.
Pastor Lanier, I got to ask you.
Yeah.
Because I drive around Wisconsin. Even in Dane County, I see Confederate flags.
Mm-hmm.
I see Confederate flags when I go bird watching around Horicon Marsh. How do you feel when you see a Confederate flag in Wisconsin?
Ignorance is because I'm a teacher at heart. You know, I think some people have hardened hearts and are lemmings. Some of the people have hardened hearts. Some of the people that are lemmings and will follow what we say in the church is itching ears. And some people don't have clarity. One of our challenges, and I'm so glad for this show and others, is that the current I hate to use this phrase, they've co-opted everything. Mainstream media does this false equivalency thing where they say the two sides are not two equitable sides. There's somebody who's lying and violent and cheating and anti-democratic. There are other sides that are trying to get it right. And so I think sometimes arguments about Confederate flags are, I'm being kind, are not well informed.
I got to ask you, what do you mean by itching ears?
Itching ear, that's that is a phrase from the Bible. And it talks about somebody who says what you know people want to hear because they'll get excited about it. The master of that, we know is DJT. He's the master of the itching ears and moving the crowd and saying exactly what they want to say to get them hyped up, whether he believes it or not. Very dangerous.
Oh, I love that expression.
Yeah.
How worried are you about a Trump victory?
Whew, terribly worried. I deeply worried, deeply concerned. If I was not a man of faith, I'd probably be freaking out because everything seems to be breaking in his direction. It's a tragedy for America. It's a tragedy that this is a standard bearer. It's a tragedy that 70 million people are believers of somebody who has so much bigotry and hate in his heart. So I'm deeply worried. We got to do something.
Yeah, as I am. I'm speaking with Pastor Walter Jack Lanier of the Progressive Baptist Church in Milwaukee. He'll be joining me for the next 10 minutes or so. And I know, Allie, you're on the line, and we'll take your call as soon as we come right back from the break. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show. I'm Matt Rothschild, sub-hosting for Maggie, and I appreciate the opportunity she's giving me here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Hey, Matt Rothschild here, subbing in for Maggie Dawn on the Maggie Dawn Show all across the Civic Media Radio Network in this great state of Wisconsin that we love so much. I'm speaking with Pastor Walter Jack Lanier here of the Progressive Baptist Church in Milwaukee, and we'll resume our conversation in a second after we take a call, and I can encourage you to call if you want to speak on the RNC, if you want to speak on whether Biden should stay or whether he should go, or if you want to follow up on the conversation that Pastor Lanier and I are having, feel free to call at 855-752-4842, and we'll get you in. Allie, you're on the line. You've been patiently waiting. What's on your mind?
Hi. Great interview. I hate to interrupt with my thoughts, but if Joel leaves as disabled or he dies, then Kamala becomes president. The vice president she picks has to be verified by the Congress, both houses. So she probably would be without a vice president if he goes because of disability or death. That's the 25th Amendment. So it's so complicated on how she can take over, and I don't know all the rules, but it's so very, very complicated that you can't just say, okay, drop out. You've got to find out the best way forward that we will still have a vice president. And it's very complicated, and maybe you could have somebody on to discuss some of that.
Well, thanks, Allie. Appreciate the call, Allie in Madison. I'm not proposing that President Biden should resign his office. I think he should serve out his term as president. I don't think he's that disabled that he can't carry out the duties of the president. In fact, since the horrible debate performance, he's actually performed pretty well. And I feel bad for him because everyone said, well, you got to do this, that, and the other thing. And if you don't perform well, you should leave. And then he actually performed okay. And still they're telling him to leave. But I always thought he wasn't the greatest candidate anyway. So anyhow, I see both sides of that, Allie. But I think the essential thing at this point is for him to step out of the race, stay as president. Let Kamala Harris take over. She'll pick her vice presidential candidate, and we won't have that problem that you're envisioning. So we also have John from Milwaukee. John from Milwaukee can jump in here for a second, and then I'll get back to Pastor Lanier. In fact, maybe we should just resume our conversation because Trump last night did pay lip service to being president of all Americans. He said to every citizen, whether young, old, man or woman, Democrat, Republican or independent, black or white, Asian or Hispanic, I extend to you a hand of loyalty and of friendship. I mean, it's just so hollow when he says those words, don't you think?
It's hollow, but I'm going to connect the beginning of the conversation with the Trump conversation. You know, it's not always the best candidate, right? It's not always the one who's most qualified in our political system. It's the one who competes most effectively and gets their message out. And at this point in time, he's has shown himself to be more effective with his message. Now, it does something to our bellies. It makes me, I have a hard time stomaching what he says because I watch what he does to people. But I listen to see what his messaging is. And he's kind of owned the media since 2016, in terms of getting free media and having his name on and on. Yeah,
absolutely. And the media has just played a complicit role in the rise of Donald Trump. I remember the head of CBS News saying, you know, it may be bad for the country, but it's great for our shareholders. I mean, if that wasn't the most cynical, callous comment I've ever heard about American politics, it certainly ranks right up there. I wanted to ask you about this Biden question. What do you think should happen?
Yeah, I think from a competitive lens, I'm not an insider in any way. I wish more of the conversation had been an inside conversation, because once it, all the people calling the pundits after the debate, I guess that's what you do, but I would have liked to have seen more discipline. That should have been an internal conversation, because now you've almost backed him into a corner, backed the Democratic Party into a corner, and are dictating. The donors didn't need to come public, I think, and I don't know, again, the inside baseball, the way they did, because it looks like playing not to lose. They should have had a good message if that pivot was going to take place and come out in a disciplined way.
It has been unseemly. We've got a couple other callers who want to weigh in on this. John from Milwaukee. Where are you on it, John?
Hello?
Yeah, you're on.
Yeah, the first thing I would like to say about that convention, when all them talked about it was God's divine intervention, that Trump is still here. Let me say one thing. There wasn't one Christian in that building, because God is not the author of confusion, and it's a whole bunch of nonsense. And my other thing is, how come the media and these talk shows don't bring up all Trump's charges? Everything you hear, they're talking about Biden. Biden is doing his job. One other thing they have to consider, during Biden's debate, Biden had just crossed the ocean so many times, had a lot of conferences, meetings, and everything else. This man was tired. I don't fault him for that debate. The man, he was just tired and exhausted. I give him all the props in the world. He came back strong. He know what he wants to do. He wants to save America from this demon, Donald Trump.
John, I really appreciate the call. John from Milwaukee. I do think he was tired. Also, if I was on his staff, would never have had him show up if he was that tired and that sick. I also wanted to schedule the thing for 9 p.m. I mean, he's an old man who gets tired at 9 o'clock at night. I'm 65. I get tired at 9 o'clock. I don't want to go till 10:30 debating someone. I mean, that was ridiculous. Pastor Lanier, I wanted to get your view on the revivalism that was going on at the Pfizer Forum there, the idea that God intervened to save Trump and that God's chosen Trump to lead this country. You're a man of faith. I wonder how you...
It's frightening. Any serious, in my view, man of faith in the pulpit would reject somebody talking about them in that manner, talking about them in a messianic way. Your instincts, the Holy Spirit, your training should say, no, stop. You don't lift me up in that way. That language is reserved for God. And so that's leaning into cult-like behavior. And I don't say that casually. It's very cultish. Or sometimes they would say a scripture and insert him in as if he were God. That's cultish and scary.
Yeah, I found that too. We were driving around the state. We saw a sign that said, God save America. He's chosen Donald Trump. And we were hearing that loud and clear for the last 4 days here in Milwaukee. And it just lends to this absolute dear leader cult atmosphere that is not part of a democracy.
And historically, that's not how we have been. When I say we Americans, but in particular African Americans, We know who we like. We know strengths and weaknesses, but it's not just a universal love fest, and we accept everything that somebody says, looking with critical eyes, and we've got to do our critical look. Well, we do. I don't know what they're going to do. I'm scared about that side.
Thank you, Pastor Lanier, for being my guest. I'll be right back on the Maggie Dawn Show.
You love hope for a destination.